Okay, Rabbi Yossi. Simon Kuf Gimel Se'if Hey. Kol Kedera She'ina Bas Yoma Choshev Taima Lifgam. Right? We already mentioned that. We mentioned the Makor in the Gemara of all the Rishonim versus the Rambam. We pass like all the Rishonim as opposed to the Rambam. That any... Oh, sorry. This is before Stam Kedera. This is Don't Rosh Lingbar. Any Kedera Zat Bas Yoma that hasn't been used that day, literally, Bas Yoma, is considered Taim Lifgam. The Taim Inu Taim Lifgam Ve'ino Oseris. The question is, what's the Geder Bas Yoma? So here... is a machlokas between Rashi and Reina Tam versus many other Rishonim, right? In Tosos, it's Rashi and Reina Tam versus the Reina Rashbam. What's the getter of Ben Yomo? So, on the one hand, Ben Yomo means like used today as opposed to yesterday. It sounds like the difference is whether you cooked it today or yesterday. On the other hand, scientifically, you'd think that it shouldn't matter whether it's today or yesterday, it should just matter how many hours passed. Because, like, who cares, like, when the calendar shifted days? It takes a certain number of hours for the Tam to get that. So that's why the Re and the Rashbam and most Rishonim, right, what's the getter of Ben Yomo? The Re and most Rishonim say what's called Me'es L'es, right, 24 hours. Okay, 24 hours. So it doesn't actually matter if it was used today or yesterday. Even if it was used yesterday, if it's within 24 hours, then it's Ben Yomo. If it was not used 24 hours, it's not within Ben Yomo. It means the Yom of Ben Yomo is the last 24 hours. However, Rashi and Rabbi Tam say that no, it literally means today. If I cook today, that is Ben Yomo. If I cook yesterday, it's not Ben Yomo. Why? Because Linas Laila is poging. Somehow the night is poging the taste. And they find a remez. What's the remez they find for the night being pogim, the taste? That the night is pogim? Notar. But the remez is specifically what a chazal sometimes call notar? Ibur tzura. Ibur tzura, ruining the form. Right? Spoilage. So we see, notar could be xeris agas, and a chazal call it ibur tzura. So we see that going overnight somehow spoils it. Don't ask me to explain this properly scientifically, meaning scientifically I really don't know what's the difference between sitting 12 hours during the night or sitting 12 hours during the day. But somehow Rashi and Tam have a shita that overnight is enough to be pogimit. Then Tosfos is very misopic. Like, what's pogimit? The beginning of the night? The end of the night? You know, Lamaisa, Tosfos concludes that, you know, an entire night is pogim, meaning if you only cook yesterday and now it's today and an entire night passed, that's pogim. But we're not so much on this, only part of the night passed, like you cook in the day and now it's 4 a.m. or you cooked 7 p.m. and now it's the next day. You need to have a whole night passing. Either way, they're more mako than most Rishonim because a whole 24 hours is always going to include at least a whole night and halves. Either way, they're more make-up. Like, any 24 hours is good enough, includes a whole night, at least in halves. But they say even 12 hours is good enough. Could be even less than 12 hours, right? Meaning, what if it's the summer? The night could be only 11 hours or 10 hours. That is good enough. Okay, how do we paskin? So, the nikris bas yomo goes much lo shoso me eis la eis afrins bashabah ha'isr. Chemich avrola me eis la eis afrins bashabah ha'isr. Eino nikris bas yomo. Okay. That is a clear hachra of the mechaber. It's called me'es la'es for 24. It's called ben yomo for 24 hours, and after 24 hours, it's not ben yomo. Meaning we paskin like the re against Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, we'll see. Rabbeinu Tam comes up a little later, but be'ikar, that's how we paskin. Continuing, if you cook in a pot that's not ben yomo, then the tafshel is mutter because it is called nosing tam lifgam. Behush detia mudachas. That's only if it's rinsed, if it's clean. Shulte shuman al paneh. It doesn't have schmutz on the surface. Shem lo idicha oser. Very good. Tichas iser shelo nifgama. If that's only if you're dealing with the blios. The blios after 24 hours are lifgam. But what if there's schmutz on the surface? Then even after 24 hours, that's like a piece, just a very thin piece. And a piece of food is not pogum even after 24 hours. You'll ask, don't pieces of food spoil? Of course pieces of food spoil, but we have no masor from Chazal about how long it takes. And if I ask, how long does it take a piece of food to spoil? The answer obviously is depends exactly what kind of piece of food and what the circumstances are, etc. So obviously, even a piece of food would spoil eventually, but not necessarily in 24 hours. Could be sometimes less than 24 hours. Could be sometimes more than 24 hours. But lemaisa, we can't be makel minastam, because we don't have a rule that tells us when to be makel that pieces of food are spoiled. We'd have to have like specific evidence, like it starts to smell bad, etc., which is not so practical. Okay, that is the first day. Avyesh matirin afil bishma kodem shevicha, but some people are matir. Again, this is the stam and yesh omrin. It seems like we don't hold like yesh omrin, but there is a yesh omrin that even the later shmutz on the surface gets nifgam after 24 hours. That the kula of the lav bas yoma applies even to a thin layer of shmutz on the surface. Not to a big piece, but a thin layer of shmutz on the surface counts like a blia. Let's just read the Rambam before we analyze this. The imbiyei shishem neged masha davak alav l'kuli alma shari me'achshad dira ena bas yoma hachi nahud. Okay, l'kuli alma. Not l'kuli alma of the Rambam's contemporary, because the Marshal disagreed. But says the Rambam, this is very nebiyah l'maisa, let's say you have an unwashed pot and you cook in it, and it's ena ben yoma. And it's ena ben yoma. But you have shishim kineged the shmutz, then that's okay because you divide and conquer. The blia in the pot, you don't shishim kineged, but it's tam lufgam because it's ena ben yoma. The shmutz is not tam lufgam because we don't like the first name of Shulchan Aruch, but you have shishim kineged, so it's batal. The Marshal disagrees. He says, no, you're mitzareth. Basically, when you have shmutz, that also makes the blias inside tam l'shvach. We don't agree with him. We say divide and conquer. And therefore, it is mutter. And the Shach points out, he reviews something he said earlier in Sif Kut Tesvav. He said a few things. He says, and remember, stam pots you cook in, we assume, are clean. Okay. Jeremy, you have a question?
One referring to Rashi, you're going to read the entire night or the entire night, I assume?
No, only the entire night.
Why is it going to be a night?
I said, I'm not sure I can scientifically explain this. What? Their inspiration is Iber Tzura of Nosar. Which sat all night, right? Because you have to bring the carbon. Yes, you have to carbon in the day. Then it's no sir the next morning. I can't. Again, that's just a hint because obviously that din is exeris akasim. It's nothing. It's not a good spoilage. Just a hint because I'll use a language of spoilage of Ibor Tzura. It's only a hint. Ultimately, I can't totally scientifically defend Rabbeinu Tam. I can say one of two things. Either you could say, no, Rabbeinu Tam really means that any 12 hours is good enough. It's just that the Torah wants to make a rule based on the normal lifestyles in the old days. And people usually did things in the day and, sort of slept at night. So he said, a whole night passes, that's enough time and it's easy to keep track of. If it's not a whole night, then it's hard to keep track of. The Torah didn't want to be makel, which is dachot. The Torah doesn't usually make lopsloks like this to Raisa. Or the simple shot of Rabbeinu Tam is that, no, it's something El Piso. The night is very different from day El Piso. You might be familiar, right? There are Kochos Atoma, etc. Ruach Ra'a at night, and therefore, now again, usually we assume, that might all be true El Piso, but that has nothing to do with whether things spoil. That has to do with the sewed aspects of them. It doesn't come across in the visible aspects, but maybe Rabbeinu Tam somehow thought that because the night somehow has more negative forces, food spoiled quicker. Not foods, but at least bleal spoiled quicker. I'm not satisfied with that either. Meaning, not because you don't believe in soap, just because usually we don't say that. No, but usually, you don't see, people say, oh, because of soap, it spoils faster. Say, because of soap, it has some spiritual issues. I don't fully understand the rate of time. I don't know. Sorry,
Rashi, we didn't actually do what to talk about besides, he also says for sure that.
I don't know if he says for the entire night, but I'm pretty sure it's night and not day. But I'm not sure. Maybe could you possibly say he just means 12 hours whenever it is, or, I don't know. You have to look into the sugya, see if you can come up with something. It's a tzarchim and misvar. I don't fully understand the svar of the name of time.
I know this about the Marshal. According to him, does it have to be specifically... What was the
washing
of use again?
It's seraph. Marshal says if you have schmutz, it even makes the bleos l'shvach.
So we're concerned that the
bleos
will be on the pot, and we're concerned that the bleos are going to, let's say when someone doesn't clean it out until later, after 20 seconds, you're going to cook the bouillotte with just water in the pot. They're going to give up the taste into the back of the pot. That's what we're concerned about. You need to wait 24 hours. You didn't clean out the schmucks. Now someone turns on the...
Now someone cooks soup in it.
Yeah.
So there are must says, and the schmutz about the machine, no problem, because the bluers are of a rebuttal. The marshal says, there's bluers and schmutz, then it's answered all the schmach, and your soup is strafe.
Even there must not say you this
in the chila. No, who says the chila?
You didn't clean it out properly.
Even if you did clean it out properly, you can't do it the chila.
Say, according to marshal, though, it's not. When you, as soon as you turn on the ignition, you're already doing something. Doing something wrong, regardless.
Yeah, we're not talking about chachila, we're talking about the other here. No one says you could use a treif pot with chachila. Whoever said you could use treif pot with chachila, we're talking about the other. Okay. Okay, now, we'll come back to that in a moment, but let's finish this. This is a machlokas between, again, somewhat coincidentally, between the Rishonim and the Rambam. Coincidentally, the last Indian was also Rambam. Based on a Gemara in the end of... about near the end of Zora and Ham and Bays, the Gemara says, one Brisa says, if you cooked in a pot, Ad Shalo Yafil Vishalo Yagil Vishalo Yalabin, one Brisa says, Mutter. Because no Satan of Gam is Mutter. So I'm going to eat a vinyl. One Brisa says, Usser, because they almost know Gam is Usser, which is a sheet of the Apostle Mike, doesn't make it to the Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Achlok is Tanarim, but Sak is clear. So, but what does the Gemara say? That ad shelo yagil, ad shelo yilabin, hagal and libon, ad shelo yatvil. I mean, if you cook before you tovel, then it's only mutter after 24 hours because no sintam lefgam. What does toveling have to do with no sintam lefgam? Right, that's the Gemara. The Gemara says, bishel ba ad shelo yatvil, mutter, because of no sintam lefgam. What does not toveling a kli have to do with no sintam lefgam? Like, it's only a kul of no sintam lefgam if you cook without toveling. What does cooking without toveling have to do with no sintam lefgam? Cooking without hagola, I understand. You cook without hagola, it has treif lios. It's what to do with no sintam lefgam after 24 hours. Cooking without libon, it has treif lios. After 24 hours, it has no sintam lefgam. What does that have to do with toveling? So there are three pshatim in the Rishonim here. Says the... It says the Ravid. It's quoted in the Gra here. And it seems to be one day. Tosfos Lachora says the Ravid. It means Tevila Mamish. It means if you cook without Tevila, it's Mutter is no Stam of God. But that's not true. If you cook in a pot, you don't Tovel. Why is it Mutter? If you cook in a pot without Toveling, why is the food Mutter? Trick question? Because... I buy a new pot and I cook without toveling. Why is the food mutter? Because like nothing happened to the food. I'm not supposed to use the pot without toveling. But there's no pleas to infect the food. Right? Toveling has nothing to do with the food. Toveling is an issue to use the pot. So, and lav davka. And lav davka. Says the rabbi, no, just since the Mishnah talked about toveling hagel and libon, things you have to do when you buy from a guy. The Bryce talked about toveling hagel and libon, but the toveling part is lav davka. It has nothing to do with toveling. Toveling, if you cook without toveling, it's mutter having nothing to do with no sintam of God. It's not dafka, it was just thrown in there, agav, hagalon libon. Says Tosos, maybe. Tosos is topic, but he brings up the possibility, it means tefila mamish. And gazru, ad shelo yatvil, that's the Lashon for you haven't yet, atu, ad shelo, it's a big chiddush, yagil, or you lobby. Taken meaning zera. If you cook without toveling, the food is treif, because you might confuse it with cooking without hagolah or cooking without libun. And therefore, it's only mutter because no sintam lefgam is mutter. Meaning, if no sintam lefgam had been usher, then if you cooked without kashering, your food would be usher. If you cooked without toveling, it would also be usher. Since no sintam lefgam is mutter, and if you cook without kashering after 24 hours, your food is mutter. Likewise, toveling. If you cook without toveling, your food is mutter. So, Aval Tiru Machar means the Ain of Yomo. Mishum no sentam lefgam. Means really there's a big finish. If you cook without toveling, it makes your food treif. Why? There's no bleos. Because one guy will cook without toveling, the other guy will cook without kashering. And the rabbi tells the first guy it's okay. The second guy might think it's okay. Therefore, there goes over you cook without tovling its trach to avoid confusion. However, after 24 hours, it's mutter because it's time to lufgam, meaning even if I got confused, I cook without tovling. And the rabbi said it's okay. My friend cooked without pashering. And I tell him the rabbi told him it was okay. And he asked, why did the rabbi say it was okay? I said, because it was more than 24 hours. It's okay. More than 24 hours, he's also okay. That's the big chiddush of Tosos. We don't pass like this big chiddush. Even Tosos says it's so. We don't pass like this big chiddush of Tosos. We pass and we cook without tovling, even within 24 hours. It's mutter. There's no zera. Okay, we pass like the Rambam. But what does the Rambam say? The Rambam has a big chiddush. It's not only the Rambam. The Rambam says, no, it's not tefillah mamish. It doesn't mean tefillah. It means hadocha. It doesn't mean tovling. It just used the lashon of tovel because that was in the Mishnah. But it means rinsing. If you it means washing dishes, rinsing. If you cook without rinsing, then it's mutter because it knows in tam lufgam. What does that mean? And from here, what do we see? It means hadacha because the shamnunis be'en is nosin tam lufgam after 24 hours. That's the Rambam's shot. He says, we see from this Gemara that if you cook without rinsing, it's like cooking without kashering. Why? Because the schmutz will asher your food. But after 24 hours, the schmutz won't asher your food because it's pogum. That's the Yesh Matirin, right? I assume someone will say, or Yesh Matirin says the Baragola, Ran, B'Shem Yesh Beforshim, Shekin Das HaRambam. Right? Says the Gra. He doesn't say who it is. Ukapirish Rambam, Behel Sofa, Zora, Kulan, etc. Ukapirish Rambam, just like I said. Okay, the Ram quotes it as like Yesh Omrim. So that's the machlokes between the first Deah in the Machaber and the Yesh Matirin. Meaning the first day is the Stam, right? He says Stam. The Stam, let's write it this way, the Stam in the Machaber and the Yesh Matirin Halacha L'Maisa, we do not paskin like the Rambam. We do not paskin like the Rambam. That Gemara in Avodah Zarah is not telling you that schmutz that you don't rinse off is pogum after 24 hours. It was talking about toveling, because that was what was in the Mishnah. Why was it talking about toveling? Okay, Machlok is Ravid, and Tosfos brings up the possibility, says Shema. Right? Tosfos says, because maybe there's some zera that they equated not toveling to not kashering to avoid confusion. No, we paskin like the Ravid, that whole word is lavdavka. Okay, yeah, I mean, you can pass it however you want, but Lamaisa, that's where you get the machlokes in the Stam and the Yesh Matirin, and we pass like the Stam against the Yesh Matirin, right? The Ramah assumes like the Stam against the Yesh Matirin, because he says you shishim keneged the Shmutz. And the Shach in Simkam Tazvad also brings many poskim to prove that we pass like the Stam against the Yesh Matirin. So we pass like the Stam, again, comes out of there. Yes, Yesh Matirin. Okay, now, I want to go into a little bit of a tangent now. One tangent, which, again, was not Mefurish here. I quoted you from Kof Kof Beis. You could look it up if you didn't believe me. Stam Kiel Labne Yomane. Who explained where that came from? Yes. Bottom of my aim and base. The other tangent I want to get into is also found in Simon Kof Kof Beis. I read it to you the other day. Se'if Vav, these are all in Se'if Vav, which is the Gemara in the top line Vav Amid Aleph, which would be right after the Gemara just quoted, right? Bottom line in the Hamid Beis. The Gemara asked, L'manda v'nos n'gam mutter, we almost know n'gam mutter. Giyulei av'l'chav v'chav n'asar honey l'shavlo. Why did the Torah forbid Goyi Shapatz? Why did the Torah tell you, remember where the Torah told you to kasher Goyi Shapatz? Where was it? The Bechem against Midyan, right? The Torah says, Ach, Zahavi, Yitzhak, Kasef, Es HaNechosh, Yitzhak, Barzil, Yitzhak, Dilvi, Yitzhak, Ofar, Yitzhak, Kol, Varsha, Yavova, Eish, Taviru, Eish, Vitzahar, Ach, Menis, Yidais, Chatzah, Bechol, Hashem, Lo, Yavova, Eish, Taviru, Kol, Hashem, Yavova, Eish, Taviru, Vamoyim, right? Told you to kasher pots. Why did the Torah tell you to kasher pots? After all, it's Tam Lefgam. It's no problem. Just use Kasher pots. No, I'm Rechibari, Rav Huna, Loestrel, Kriyabas, Yom, Glavnusnam of Gabu. The Torah only met within 24 hours. When the Torah, the whole parsha of Chemes Midyan, of Kling Midyan, met within 24 hours, you have to kasher the pot. The Torah also meant if you want to wait 24 hours, that's fine. But within 24 hours, you have to kosher the pots. Now, here's the obvious question. The Torah only told us to kosher pots within 24 hours, and afterwards, no sinat of gam. Then, mikan ve'ilch lishtrei. So why isn't it just mutter to use every pot after 24 hours? After all, there's no more possibility of tarfus, right? I mean, it's only getting more and more lishtrei, right? It's never going to go back to being lishtrei. So why can't I buy every treif pot and wait for dish and wait 24 hours? Or if I treif up something, milk and meat in my kitchen, why don't I just wait 24 hours and use it? Mida oraisa, I can. Mida oraisa, Moshe Rabbeinu, or Elazar Kohen, however it worked, said, if you want to use them today, you have to kosher them. But the mice, if you just wait till tomorrow, they're fine. And I bet a lot of people decided to just wait till tomorrow. It's probably a lot simpler. Okay, theoretically, they had to know these things. How about nowadays? We all know that we can't take advantage of that. Okay, end of the mandor that we possibly like, no snap of God. Right? It's a gzeira. You can't use an ein ben yomo pat. Gzeira atu ben yomo pat. Okay, that's why lechatchila, Jeremy asks, lechatchila. No, lechatchila, you can't cook in a pot with any trace schmutz. Because the ein batler is lechatchila. And lechatchila, you can't cook in a pot with ein ben yomo blios. Because Zera ain't ben yomo, atu ben yomo. That is the first Gemara, Tam of Daf Ayin Vav of Maseches Avodah Zarah. Right at the end, Ayin Vav is the last Daf of Avodah Zarah. Okay. Therefore, you can't cook lechatchila in a treif pot she'ena ben yomo. And the Shulchan Aruch says, which is that you can't tell a goy to do that either. Meaning, I can't ask a goy, can you make me a hard boiled egg? Even though all the eggs in the city are kosher, and even though Stam Kin Lavna Yoman in him, or if I know his cleat, I see him coming back from vacation, I know 100% his cleat is Lavna Yoman in him, right? He's brushing the cobwebs off his front door and going inside, it doesn't matter. Because the Chavchila, whatever I can't do, I can't tell a guy to do. Even if a guy says, would you like a hard boiled egg? I have to say no thanks. Because if I say yes, I'm asking him to make me a hard boiled egg. And the Chavchila, I can't cook or ask a guy to cook in a cleat that is a Nubinyo. That's a Dabar Pasha. If you want to look, some Kufa base above. It's explicit. I read it to you last time. But it's just logical. Now, the question is, are there any kulas for a Kedera She'ena Ben Yomo? Okay, why do we need kulas for a Kedera She'ena Ben Yomo? Meaning, Mimanashach. Bidyuk, why do we need any kulas? If someone already cooked in it, then the food is kosher. So I don't need any kulas. Because it's Mefurish. And if someone didn't cook, I didn't cook in it yet, then why do I need kulas? Just kosher it. Right? I have a pot that's treif ein ben yomo. So why don't you any kulas? Just kosher it. Where does it get tricky? What if it's not a pot? What if it is? Or what if it was once a pot? Pot mi lashon? In English?
Right.
No, in English. Pot mi lashon? What do you call making pots?
Pot making.
Pottery. Pottery, a potter makes pots. Because pots in the old days were charis, right? I know, it's hard for us to imagine, right? That's why it's called pottery, because you make pots, right? As a matter of fact, we still call flower pots pots, which are often made of charis, right? Okay, hence potters, yes. That's why when Rav said, Kederos b'Pesach yishaveru, right? And Davlamed Ipsachim, break all your pots before Pesach. Because we don't pass that way. He had a shita that Chomash Shavuot Lord Pesach is also Ramashahu, and therefore it'll be Chomash Shavuot Lord Pesach and the Blios. We pass that the Blios are not a problem for Pesach, but he held Blios were a problem. So why didn't you just say kasher your pots? Because pots were made of charis, and you couldn't kasher them in those days. And therefore, it wasn't even that hard to break them all. They were pretty cheap. What about clay charis? Okay, nowadays none of us have charis pots. Our technology has advanced a little, but we still have lots of charis dishes, right? Most dishes are charis, whether fine china or cheap china, posh is simple china, meaning all regular dishes are charis. So what if you have a kli charis that is, or for that matter, anyone have an old gross apartment? I don't know if anyone has old kitchens anymore. What's your sink made of? New kitchen, okay. The old sinks were made of porcelain, right? Which is also a shash of charis, right? What if you have a shash of charis that it's suffix in the achronim whether porcelain has a din of charis or not? Because porcelain is not regular charis, right? Porcelain is, again, why do we call China China?
Maybe China.
Right, because in the old days, when our ancestors were really gedolim in Torah, but when the in the secular, you know, from a secular perspective, when our ancestors were backwards Europeans who were mired in the Middle Ages and very technologically very old fashioned, lived a barbaric lifestyle and didn't know very much. In the Far East, in India and China and etc., there were advanced cultures, even the Muslim cultures, where they had much better technology. And once upon a time, our ancestors in the Middle Ages in Europe, and the Goyim's ancestors in the Middle Ages in Europe, used just regular pottery for pots and for all other kelim. And they heard that in China, they had these fancy schmancy kinds of things, which were like shiny and hard and not so porous, and were much, much better quality. They were pretty. They didn't get disgusting because they weren't bolea so much, etc. And so they called it China, you know. And then gradually it spread, and eventually all nice, cheris-like things became called China, etc. And so porcelain was probably the original thing. They nicknamed China, even though nowadays we call it porcelain. Okay, Kitzer.
In China, they just call it fries.
Thank you. Anyway, Kitzer, okay, so it's Ben, the reason you ask is because I think it's a Shavus Yabitz or someone in the Pisri Chuba later on in Kuf Aleph, who's Mesupa, whether porcelain has a Din Klicheris or not, because it's not so porous. Okay, but all these things, how are all these Klicheris? What's the problem? After 24 hours, we're stuck. There's nothing we can do with them. We have to throw them in the garbage because they can't be kashered. So if you look in the Pisri Chuba Sifkei Das here, he says, Echtov Ktsas Dini Nosentam Lufgam Bekdeira, Kedeira She'ina Bas Yoma Asur, Ve'in Chilip Yonotav Zlecheris. First of all, he says, Kedeira She'ina Bas Yoma is Asur to cook in. It doesn't matter if it's Cheres or Matechas. Minchas Yaakov Val Peheo Samach Dalet, Hebeshem Nachlas Yaakov Simchav Gimel Chav Dalet Chafeo Men Beis Men Gimel. Behefzim Arubal Ahatur Pti Cheres Pneum Agon Merv Leiv Servel. In the Pisri Chuba later on, this is quoted in Chachmei Venetia, I guess Leiv Servel was the leader of the Chachmei Venetia. It's known in yeshivish circles as the Chachmei Venetia, even though here he quotes it as Rav Leiv Servel. I assume he was the Chachmei Venetia. Venetia's Venice. Uvachuas, even though he says he was Mekel Behefsin Maruba. Uvachuas for Shmuel, Shemir Al Shemir Shmuel, our Kavalti, pick me Pinchad Rav Ami. The hell the Hefsin Maruba Shar. He says, no, there's a Mefurish Gemara which says Rav Ami had a Pincha, he had a Klicheris that was straight, and they told him to break it. Okay, that seems to be evidence that if Klicheris is trait, you just break it and there's no room to be Mako. But in the end, you have some Ruba, he was Mako. Fiza Osen Kale Hashumishkor porcelain, the Kadome, I mean Sifsi Das here again, Yeshul Tzadik. Ah, there's room to be an ankle, maybe. Marl Nachzim, Kochaval, Herich, Yun Sham, right? Maybe in these Kalen Yakarim, expensive things, they're expensive things, they're Harris. Maybe you can be an ankle. Uliya had your Nira Afe Hesim Aruba Lassar, Dima Ayim, Sofa Nazara, Hagiris, Shalom, Mikambe, Ilchlistri, Mshani, Otmasyom, of Russia, Magosa, Shi, Ashri, Dolo Omer, No Stalm, Gam, Hakilo, Otto, Kheris, Abadi, Evid, Shamahi, Omer, Otto, Ben Yomu, Mutsin, Kurv, Little, Silk, Afe, Sirabon, etc. Okay, what's he saying? What he's saying is a long dish of hakir with an afgamina that's mefurish. It's somewhat mefurish and toasted in the rush there, but that goes ushri makes it super duper mefurish at the end of Avodah Zarah, right there. What does he say? The Chachmei Venetia wanted to be Mako. What about a klicheres she'eno ben yomo? Chachmei Venetia wanted to be Mako. Why? Because they said a klima teches that's ain't ben yomo. We're machmer lechatchila. To kasher it. If you already cooked food in a cliche in a ben yomo, we're making with the eved, you can eat the food. Meaning, we're machmer on the metal because it's you. There's an option of kashering. We're making on the food because you have no other option. Klicheris, there's no other option. So we should be making. That's the svara of the Chachmei Venetia. Again, you're not going to find the word Chachmei Venetia here, but I'm just, most people don't know from this Pesach, most people from this. Prima Gadim, most people, it's more famous from, it's quoted by the Pisrei Tshuva and Siman Kuf Chaf Beis, sorry, Sifkat and Aleph, and there he quotes the exact same thing. Kimechaz Yaakov, quoting Nachaz Yaakov, just there he calls it Chachmei Venetia. Okay, Chachmei Venetia, say, mutter, why? And here's their svara. their svara is because a metal kli is usher. Food cooked in the kli is mutter. That everyone agrees. And they say, what's the pattern? The pattern is because lechatchila kasherit, but b'di'eved, where there's no solution, you can eat the food. So too, what do they conclude? They take two and two, and they make four, or according to Pimigod, they make six. They say, if you have a kli cheres, it is mutter because, this is also b'di'eved, there's no other solution. That would be a very convenient shita if it were pashut pshat in shas and rishon. Even the people who disagreed with it, I think would have more valence if it had a strong basis. You know, the Machmer got a lot of things. We don't have to follow him. But here the Primogodim has logic on his side. And it's a Mefur Shagal Sashri. And it's a Mefur Shagal Sashri based on what's said in many Rishonim. What does the... however, what does the Hagal Sashri... I'll pee the Rishonim. And the Primogodim say... And even the Chachmim and Nazi, they're only Meikel, but Makom Hefsim Meruba. Why? Because they know this is a Chiddush, and therefore they're only when you're stuck, the Seder. Meaning, the Svara is to be Meikel, but they're only so much in Hefsim Meruba. They say, nope, Aser Afilu the Makom Hefsim Meruba. We follow them. Why? Because they have a different way of explaining it, which is the Mefurash and Tosos of the Rosh and many, many Rishonim. A metal kli is usher. The food cooked in the kli is mutter. Nothing to do with whether there's another option or not. Because what's the gzeira? Ben yomo, ena ben yomo, otu ben yomo. They made a gzeira on the kli. A kli that's ena ben yomo is this very similar to the same kli as a kli that is ben yomo. The same kli at a different time, they were gozer on the kli. This kli in an hour from now and this kli an hour ago are very similar. There were gozer on it. However, I mean, this kli used to be ben yomo. If I cook rice in a kli she'ena ben yomo, that rice didn't used to be usher. What I mean, there could have been other rice in a parallel situation that would have been usher. That's not what they were gozer on. They were gozer on a thing that used to be usher. It used to be usher. Don't rely on now it's mutter because it can be confusing. They weren't gozer on. This rice was always mutter, but it could have been cooked differently or been a different rice and been usher. And you see, that's not as strong of a gzera, right? The reason is because this is the kli itself was usher, and therefore they said, keep it usher. The food was never usher. The kli itself used to be usher. It's very, very strong zera, easily confusable, right? This desk, to be confused with this desk an hour ago, that's the zera. To be gozer on this mask, atu, a mask that used to be on this desk an hour ago and is now someplace else, or atu, a mask that might have theoretically been on the desk an hour ago, that's a more far out zera. They decided not to be gozer that far. The gzera is on the kli and not the food. That's what Tosos said. And the Agosa Shri says, what's an afkamina? An afkamina is, even though he lived for one time for Chachmanetzi, that Chachmanetzi are wrong. Therefore, kli cheres is baser because it's the kli itself. The yesod is that it's not. You ask, why can't I use the pot that's ain't a binyomo, but my kot I can eat the rice? Not because I can't use the pot because the chachila have an option, but I can eat the rice because the other I have no other option. No, because they made gzera on the kli. And they didn't make Xer on the rice. They made Xer on the cliques that used to be problematic. They didn't make Xer on the rice because it didn't used to be problematic. Just theoretically, there could have been some other rice yesterday that would have been problematic. That's not enough to make Xer. And therefore, here's Usher. We pass in, it's a tzad lahakel, but a small tzad lahakel. We pass like the Prima Gadim, unlike, and especially since before we show them that way. We do not pass like Chachman and Netzia. We pass in all the Rishonim, all the Achron and Paskin rather like the Prima. No, he just says that the kesher they had to break the kli cheres was when it was within 24 hours, and they were afraid someone would use it within 24 hours, and that. But if it had 24 hours had already passed, they wouldn't have had to break it.
Oh, so if you call the rabbi within 24 hours, you
would yeah. Or there might be other, you know, there might be other answers as well. That's one answer. I don't remember exactly who said what answer. Okay. Anyway, halacha maisa, that's clear. But then he brings up another. And lemaisa, we don't rely on the Chachmei Venetia unless we have many other tzadim l'hakel. It's not considered a strong tzad l'hakel. However, what's the more famous issue is, what about kli cheres? Cheres, she'avru alav yud beis chodesh. What about if it's a year old, right? Any Americans have heard of this kula? You never heard of the kula after a year?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought all Americans knew this kula. Oh, whatever, it's a different metzias. In my days, it was much more of a metzias because all dishwashers were cheres. And dishwashers were very expensive. When I was a kid, it was like new technology. Not new, but it was very, even now, dishwashers aren't cheap. But they were much, relative to other goods, they were much more expensive then because they were considered cutting-edge technology. Now it's considered old-fashioned technology. So when you, and in America, when you buy a house, it comes with the appliances usually. So when I buy a house in America, I'm, whether I like it or not, I'm paying for the dishwasher. That's still the way it works in America, most places. Right? It's built. It's not like you get it for free. Yeah, it's built into the price. I mean, you get it for free. You don't pay extra for it, but it's built into the price. So basically, someone bought a house, beautiful house, comes with a dishwasher, and they already paid for the dishwasher. And like, there's nothing to do with it. Like, they sell it secondhand, they'll get $20, right? So they're stuck with a trafe dishwasher that they paid a lot of money for. What do they do? That was the common case in my days. And in my days, the dishwashers were porcelain on the inside. Nowadays, there are no cheres dishwashers anymore. But and they're all plastic and metal, mostly plastic. Six, there's still some, but no dishwashers. So, and even six, only in old houses. So, but what do you do with the dishwasher, or the sink for that matter? The famous Kula Rashi, after 12 months, it's okay. Where did that come from? That's the famous school of the Chacham Tzvi. He's not talking about dishwashers. But the famous school of the Chacham Tzvi, quoting the same Prima Gadim here, says the Chacham Tzvi, quoting the same Prima Gadim, he says after 12 months, mutter, why? Not enough to do with Dosan Tam Lufgan. That's the Chacham Menetzi experiment that failed. Says after 12 months it's mutter because it's not that the blios are near Dosan Tam Lufgan. The blios disappear. Remember we said about the bugs, right? Any invertebrate, briyash in lo etzem, after 12 months just disappears, turns into dust, decomposes. The blios after 12 months just decompose. They're not Dosan Tam Lufgan. They're gone. They only last so long. They're disembodied taste particles. Eventually, they just decompose. What was his raya? His raya was we find by Hilchos Yayin Nesef or Yayin Akum. We find that if they squish the grapes and you have the pulp left, the shell, the peels, etc., after 12 months, they're considered kosher. Why? Because all the wine in them dries out and disappears. And likewise, if the goyim have wine storage containers like leather flasks, yishun, it's called yishun, your base kodesh, after 12 months, they're kosher. We see the bli of Yayin Nesef disappears after 12 months. So therefore, not that it's lufgam, it disappears. So likewise, that's his precedent, right? What's the makor? The makor is blios. Let's call it yayin akol. Not literal Yayin Nesef necessarily, so yes. But goyish wine. Okay, that's the famous kula Chacham Tzvi. It's quoted here. However, he says, that's the Chacham Tzvi. Etc. He named Shul Chacham Tzvi Matir. His example was, what if in Pesach, you accidentally use a chametz to kli, but from before last Pesach? And Pesach, there's no heter, there's no mufgan. But he says, okay, because they're 12 months old, there's no blias at all. There's no blias at all, there's nothing to talk about. Right? And then he quoted, however, the Panim Eros disagreed and said, that's not a good riot. Tried to bring some some rise against him. Likewise, he quotes the Dvar Shmuel, and then he says, etc., etc. Okay, here he brings down a whole bunch of different svaras. The Iker svara is,
says the Prima Gadin and others, that it's Aser. Why? What about that Mokker?
That Mokker was not involved cooking. That was not Blios through cooking. That was all Blios through cold. Blios through cold. Blios to get Nivla and cold might evaporate after 12 months. But Blios to come through cooking won't.
So that, there are many other stories. The main Svara, what's the Chiluk? Blia al Yidei Tzonein or Roteach? Blia al Yidei Tzonein dries out after 12 months. But Blia al Yidei Roteach doesn't dry out even after 12 months.
It's still Einu Ben Yomo and still Asu Chashtila.
That is the Svara of the Prima Gadim, etc. How do we paskin?
Here it is Lemaisa, we generally paskin also
like the Prima Gadim, not like the Chacham Tzvi, but with a little asterisk.
We don't rely on the Chacham Tzvi. However, there's a famous series of tshuvas of Rav Moshe. If you want to look them up, they're Chilek Bey, Simen Mem Vav, Chilek Gimel, Simen Chav Ches, and Chilek Gimel, Simen Chav Tes. There's also a Rav Avadya about this. If you want to look it up, it's Chilek Zayin of Yabi Omer, Simen Yud. Okay, again, Rav Moshe is 246, 328, and 329. Rav Avadya is 710. They say, Behefsa Maruba, we can be mitzare for a lot of kulas. But Moshe's two Hefsa Maruba's case, the guy who bought the house of the dishwasher and someone who inherited very expensive china from a non-firm relative. Right? They inherited very expensive china for their non-firm aunt. Now what do they do with it? Truth is, nowadays, I don't know, maybe you could sell it on eBay and get good money for it. I'm not sure. You know, certainly in his days, like, you could try to sell it secondhand, but you don't get your money's worth. You know, you still lose 75% of your money. Basically, you're stuck. So what do you do? It's a Hefsa Maruba. These things are expensive, not like one dish. What do you do with a Hefsa Maruba? Yes? Yes, you already inherited it. Meaning, no one would say, it's okay, I can buy it if I find it cheap on eBay and then it's Hefsa Maruba. No, getting into it, L'chachila, is not Hefsa Maruba. But if you inherited it, I mean, let's hope you didn't actually do anything active to cause you to inherit it, right? It already fell in your lap. Once I'm really filling out, that's called a hefset. That's explicit. Explicit in the Rishonim on Perek Nisha Hefshech and Shabbos. If you find a bag of money in the street on Shabbos, they were not makel to let you keep it. But if you found a bag of money in the street a minute before sunset, and now you're carrying it in the street on Shabbos, they were makel that you could do pachas this and shnayim shasur this. And the Gemara says you're not really supposed to tell all the ways they were makel in public, but that's exactly it. If you found it a minute before Shabbos, now it's a Hefsa Maruba. They were makel to let you keep it. Okay, so that's the same thing here. Meaning, halacha doesn't believe in easy come, easy go, right? Your hobby was easy come, easy go. And my answer is that easy come, easy go is not found in Shas. It's a goyish saying. But in Shas, that's not true. Once you acquire something, it's now a Hefsa Maruba to lose it, even if you acquired it for free, through no effort of your own, unfairly. Okay, so therefore, what does the Rosh say? Yeah?
What if you had you inherited a whole set of kosher china, but you're missing one plate, and you want to buy one that might be traded?
I don't think Rosh would make on that case. I don't think he would make on that case. What? Ramosha also has one about about meat to dairy, although it's not one of the ones I mentioned. I forget the number. But that was also a case of Hefsa Maruba. It was the guy who had very expensive china, and he had hard times, and he had to sell the china in order to pay his bills. And he found someone willing to pay him a nice price for it, but that person wanted Fleishik china, and his was Milchik. So the question is, could he kasher from Milchik to Fleishik, Hefsa Maruba? Or mostly it was a makel there. But again, that's only a rare case, where the guy's mom selling his, heirloom china, because he was in such hard times that he had to sell his precious belongings, and otherwise, obviously, would have been a lot of money for him. Not in a Stam case where I'd rather have, I already have milk. I need fleishik. No, that's not called hefsek. No, Rav Moshe's actual case that I did quote before wasn't the guy who inherited. It was actually Baal Tshuva. Yeah, Baal Tshuva was also like, you know, he acquired expensive fleishik china through no fault of his own. And there Rav Moshe says, and that's also takanas hashavim, right? So it's another factor why we want to be mekel. You don't want to discourage Baal Tshuva. Anyway, what he does there is he throws in a lot of stud and lahakel. What are the stud and lahakel of Rav Moshe? Only Dvakim Hefsim Merula, not the Chachima. What are the stud and lahakel of Rav Moshe, Abris Moshe, and the ode, the Makom Hefsim Merula? What are its stud and lahakel? One, the Chachmei Venetia. We don't pass like that, but according to them, after 24 hours it's kosher. Two, the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi seems to be like more of a serious sheep than the Chacham Venetia. Like more people agree with the Chacham Tzvi than the Chacham Venetia. Chacham Venetia is a bit of a sheet of nidches. But the Chacham Tzvi is a real machlok sachronim. He's a minority sheet, but a strong minority. Then he also throws in some other things. What do you say? Maybe it's not cheres. Meaning any dish that we have nowadays, it's not vadai that they're cheres. Because they're not classic cheres. Forsan is something, whether it's cheres. Our regular dishes nowadays, like our regular dishes, are not porcelain, they're rather glazed china. Okay, yes, for a body, you'll say it's not cheres. And even if you ask for a body, you'll say, well, we're not 100% sure it's cheres, but that's our psak. Right? And he throws in, how about klisheni? After all, I don't think you generally put your china on the stove. Right? It's interesting. Nowadays you put in the microwave. Yesh Ladin and that. He didn't have microwaves in those days. But even then, Yesh Ladin. Certainly you don't put it on the stove. I know we treat it as Eroizma and Dabrgush, etc. But it's not a Borer Kli Rishon. That's a tzad. Well, and here, Rav Moshe adds a little Ravadya's makeup without this. The infamous Sheet of the Baal Ha'Itter. What's the Sheet of the Baal Ha'Itter? Anyone know? Infamous sheet of the Baal Ha'Itter. Hagalah Gimel Pa'am, and the Baal Ha'Itter holds that you can kashif kli cheres by doing Hagalah three times. Not once, but three times. If it's Einu Ben Yomo. And not that it makes a difference Ben Yomo. He just said, if it's Einu Ben Yomo, it's only Drabbanan, and for Drabbanan, it's Ramekel. That Hagalah once is not good enough, and three times is. It's a big finish. HaTorah Ha'idah Kli Cheres Einu Yotzim Deidofim Nolim. The Torah is made on Kli Cheres. That it can't be kosher ever. It says, no, that means by one action. But by three actions it can. You know, that's like chazaka, right? Meaning, what's the problem with the kli cheres? When you cook in it, trace might come into the water. After three times, that's chazaka. Everything that was going to come out came out already. Okay, so he says, do I go three times? Okay, that's because of Ravadya's make a leave without that go three times. He says, the other seven lakul are good enough. That's the famous kula Ramosha. Everyone relies on that in America. The Makom Hefsim Merubah, you inherit dishes or Baal Tshuva or dishwashers in the old days. Nowadays, dishwashers are not made of cheres anyway. You wait a year and then you kasher it three times and then it's okay based on the Rav Moshe Makom Hefsim Merubah. If it's not a Hefsim Merubah, then just forget about it. Yes.
3 24 hours
between
each one? No. Just three quick dips?
For some reason, I have in my head that someone said you need three different waters for the itter, but I'll check.
So, greater emotion, you do all five of these coolers for the type of cooler?
That's his case, you know, we're not sure, you know.
I don't really understand how the
cliche
plays out. How exactly?
Maybe it's a cliche. Cliche is not belay, so it was never belay anything.
How are we sure that it's not a
cliche?
How are we sure that it's not a cliche?
We're not sure, it's just maybe. Right?
Isn't every time you put hot, I'm confused,
because
you put really hot food on it.
Then we're machmer, that's called the Kli Rishon, but it's a machlokes Rishonim, it's not for sure.
Oh, this is not
someone
that would say the
Kli. No, then he would just say it's much of that Hefsim Merubah. Right. No, it says maybe, according to some Rishonim, maybe it's a cliche. Oh, I know, we say when you pour directly, that's considered like you monthly if they cleave, but like a Kli Rishon, etc. But maybe according to some Rishonim, that's cliche. Maybe you also say it's a gush. And according to some Rishonim, it might be a cliche.
Let's say someone moves into the house They have, of course, one sink. We don't have to pat it up. Pour hot water on three times in order to pass it.
According to this from Moshe, yeah. And first they'd have to wait a year.
Oh, so they have to wait a year, too.
Remember, this is all after 12 months. What?
So it would only work after 12 months. But
yeah.
Do you really have porcelain sink?
Yes,
do you
sure.
Do porcelain's even less than China?
No, one's making less than 12 months. Now, keep in mind, no one's making less than 12 months, no. Less than 12 months? You have to figure out how to wash your dishes. After they have some room, what are you going to buy a new sink? You know, you're going to live your whole life in the tree sink? You know, so, okay.
And then,
yeah, sorry.
And then, let's say it's like a double sink. And let's say, based on the way the kitchen is, you want to change it around, clean up different places. Do you rely on this?
I don't think so, because this is only for half some room.
No, I'm saying it has some room, it has to get a new sink. Do you really want this side of the dishes? I don't know.
How old are you?
25.
Okay, I'm double that. When I grew up, that wasn't called Hefsagrupa. Hey, you want a lot of things. You're not supposed to get everything you want.
It could be a bottle boss. It's like having a very hard time with the fact that they can't.
Hey, if that bottle boss can... Again, you might be right. I'm just explaining to you why you can't explain it to me. When I grew up, if you were very upset about something, that was considered your issue that you had to deal with and resolve. I know now we live in a different century. We live in a different era, and if someone's upset about something, then that means it's pikuach nefesh, and you're allowed to violate kol Torah kula. And according to some people, even the gemul chamurus. It's a chiddush, but you work it out. But I grew up in a different era. If I was upset and I didn't like exactly the way something is, then I dealt with it, and that wasn't called hefsid merubah. So you're not going to convince me otherwise. If you find a younger Rosh Yeshiva to teach your day, maybe I'll have a different perspective. Okay. Yeah. No, whatever. I mean, it's just, you know, some things you're just not going to get me to understand. Right. I mean, we'll get to it. Well, that's a sugya that we'll get to later in the year. But for now, we're assuming what is the mainstream halacha that we'll get to later. For now, we're going to assume later it'll still be true. We'll just show the chorus. That glazed china is considered charis. That all of our dishes are considered charis. Right? Basically, the assumption is anything which, if you dropped it, if the floor would crack, is charis. You want to go to Rabadi, they'll give you different shitas, Kedarka Bakodesh. What? No, only about this. No, Adarabba, he agrees with me in Hashkafa. He just has a different halachic sheet about this. All right, fighter. Sifav. Yesh Misha Omer. If the Mechaber here says Yesh Misha Omer, does that mean we paskin like it or we don't? If he says Yesh Misha Omer, what does that mean? Yes, whenever the Mechaber just says Yesh Misha Omer without any dissenting view, it means we paskin that way. Why does he say Yesh Misha Omer? He says Yesh Misha Omer because it's not found in the classic halachic books of the Rif and the Rush and the Rambam, etc. But when he says Stam Yesh Misha Omer, we paskin this way. And remember, we had a whole Rabbi Kiva Eger, which I'm not going to cover now, in Siman Sadivah, that explained why he paskin this way. Yesh Misha Omer Shem Somo Pilpulim B'Kleir Shel Isra She'ina Bas Yom HaKol Osur Dechur Fem Asmi Lil Shvach. Right? This is the idea of, right? Dover Charif, even Einu Ben Yomo, Mashvi L'Shvach, makes it Shvach, that therefore if you put pepper in a dish cooking in the Einu Ben Yomo treif pot, everything's Aser, because the Dover Charif, the pepper, makes into Shvach. So that's the big chumra that the kulav, even b'dieved, even after you cook, the kulav Einu Ben Yomo only works for regular food, not for Charif food. And we pass, this is the way we pass in Bein, the Svarim Bein Lashkenazim, the Taz here points out that, don't take it literally, it doesn't mean if you add pepper. If I make chicken soup and I add pepper, that doesn't make it a dover charif. What he means here is if it's rove pepper, right? The dafka rubo dover charif beginner. He's quoting the Rambam there, but good enough. Only if it's rove charif. And as the Taz here, something very logical, it doesn't mean rove charif like 51% pepper and 49% other ingredients. No one would ever do that. What it means is tamon nirgash harbe. It's the rove tam. How to measure that? It's like Justice Potter Stewart said, it's one of these things that I can't define. How do you know when it's rove tam is charif, but you know it when you taste it. Right. Okay. It's an intuitive getter. Thank you for prompting me from specifying. So it's Sif Zion. Kedei Rishi Blua Mibas Recholoshin is Bashlu Babi Yachad Obazachazet. A Kedeira that is Balua. This is reminiscent of Simon Sadi Dalid Sif Zion or whatever it was. Maybe it was Vav. I forget. I apologize. But we have this case already. Just he's throwing a new angle here. A Kedeira, that is Balua from Bas Recholoshin that were cooked together or one after the other within 24 hours. So either way, it's Balua Bas Recholoshin. Right, actually makes no difference whether we possibly makes no difference. All the Rishonim on the page say it makes no difference whether you cook the meat and milk at the same time or within 24 hours of each other. Either way, you have a chalos bas b'chalav. And the kodem sh'avu lai la'achas hukmu b'mayim chashiva bas yoma achetishim eis la'is b'shash hukmu b'mayim. And before one night, you cooked water or anything else, any neutral item, any parah item. It would be worse if you cooked milk or fleshy item. So let's do a parah item. Then it's considered ben yomo until 24 hours after you cook the water. Okay, what's the principle here? We saw this already once in Simon Sadi Yalu, the famous machlokes between the Sefer Truma and the Smak. Okay, I'm just going to go over it a bit. Kids are nimrats. Let me just get a picture of the board. I apologize for turning it right back to you. Okay, what's the case? The case is this. Before we get to the case of the Machaber, let's see the principle of the matter. What type of cases are questionable? What is the principle going on here? The principle is this. You have treif. Let's say bas v'chalav. Right? You have bas v'chalav. And then you cook mayim or anything parv. Right? Because if you cook more meat and milk, it can become a new chatz of bas v'chalav intrinsically. And then you cooked a neutral top shell. Okay, when is this an interesting machlokes? If 23 hours elapsed between the bas v'chalav and the neutral top shell, then that's not interesting. Your top shell is treif. If 24 hours elapsed between the bas v'chalav and the mayim, that's not interesting. The mayim is kosher, and obviously the top shell is kosher. If 24 hours elapsed in the mayim and the top shell, that's not interesting. Obviously the top shell is kosher. It's only interesting if right. I can use greater than and lesser than signs without being accused of Torah Mada.
Okay.
Less than 24 hours elapsed here. Less than 24 hours elapsed here. And more than 24 hours elapsed here. Right? So if you look at each step, it's no sintam l'shvach. But if you look at from the treif to your top shell, it's no sintam l'fgam. Which way do you look at it? Good question. So this is a famous machlokes between the Sefer HaTruma and the Smak. Sefer HaTruma and the Smak. In this case, says the Sefer HaTruma, he says, Usser, because the Mayim is Hanan. It's Usser because the Mayim is Hanan. The Mayim becomes Hanan. Now the Mayim is intrinsically treif, so for the next 24 hours it'll be Ben Yomo. You know, not getting to the Machaber's case yet. Says the Smak, Mutter. Why? Because this is an issue we keep coming back to again and again. How seriously do we take Hanan, right? Chatichanas is the Vela. Is it mamish this chaticha is like a fresh piece of independent piece of treif? Or no, it's just a blia of what went into it. Obviously, for one purpose, we see it as an independent piece of treif. For the purpose of quantity and measure shisha. That's the whole point of Hanan, right? You don't need 60 negative the blia in the treif. You need 60 negative the whole treif because of Hanan. But for other purposes, and this is just, it's a general question. You know, I'm not sure how finely to analyze the longest, or just say it's a general question, which we'll do for now. For other purposes, we see it as just a continuation that came beforehand, right? Remember, melech habalumidan, salt that absorbed blood, and you put in 1% of salt in your soup, which is already very salty. It's Buttle. Ah, Salt is not Saint Tam. It shouldn't be Buttle. No. The Salt is not intrinsically Usser. It's only Usser because of the Dam inside. So just like the Dam is Buttle Bashishim, the Salt is Buttle Bashishim. So in some things, we see it as an independent trait. In some things, we just see it as a continuation of the old trait. Right? We already had in our simon in terms of Shvach or Lefgam, right? If, you know, Isser falls into Heter, and then that Heter falls into a stew, where the Isser gives Tam Lefgam, but the Heter gives Tam Shvach. You know, do we say Lin Shvach Lefgam? Okay, that's a similar question. Says the Smak, yes, it's Mutter. It's Mutter. Oh, the water is Hanan. He admits the water is Hanan. It's Mutter because even though the Mayim is Hanan, it's no worse than the Isser it absorbed. And since the Isser it absorbed is Nosen Tam Lefgam, it is a Heter Nosen Tam Lefgam. Okay, that's Machlokas, how far to take Hanan. The Shach has a third Shita. The Shach here has a third Shita. Says the Shach, he wants to be more Machrin than the Sefer Chua. He thinks, and if you remember, we asked why the Shach was wrong, and we had two days in the Achronims inside the Dalit, why we don't pass like the Shach, which I'll refer to your notes. He says, no, it's Usser even without Hanan. It's Usser even without Hanan. No, it actually doesn't depend on Hanan. It's Usser even without Hanan. Why is it Usser even without Hanan? Because the fact that you cook the water restarts the clock. Refreshes the taste of the basar b'chalav. Even that chanan. That's chanan. The water's not chanan. The basar b'chalav gets refreshed when it gets rehydrated within 24 hours. Right? It restarts the clock. Right? There's such a concept as restarting the clock. Right? We actually have that. I mean, okay. It's not really relevant at all. But remember, say, after 72 hours, you can't salt meat anymore. If you wash it, it restarts the clock. If you wash it, it restarts the clock. And then you could do it again and again and again. Okay, why? Because when you soak something, it often gets refreshed. Right? My grandfather was for a brief time, was a bit of a rub in Ohio back in the days of the great Rebbe Lazer Silver. Rebbe Kef, I can tell you what he wrote about. And Rebbe Lazer loved adventures. One day he gets a call in the middle of the night. He gets woken up in the middle of the night in his pajamas, believe it's sober. He says, Matis, we have to go wash a train. Get out and get dressed. We're going to wash a train. And there was a train that got stuck. The train got stuck on the railroad carrying kosher meat. And it was almost 72 hours. And it wasn't going to make it. By the time they fixed the train, it was more than 72 hours. So they came. They got a big fire hose from someplace. I don't know if they got a fire truck or there was hydrant nearby or whatever. And they soaked that entire car of the train in order to restart 72 hours. And it was really a great, amazing adventure and a story to tell your grandchildren. The asterisk is, not everyone who likes adventures, even if they're a gadol Torah, is a gadol in science. And it restarted the clock, and now you have another 72 hours you can salt the meat. However, when the train is stuck in freezing weather in Ohio, and whatever month it was, and you just, you know, hose it down and let it soak in water for a long time. It actually ruined all the meat. So, but the ending was not quite this, you know, we should skip that part. It was a great adventure until then. Okay, Lama Shana. Anyway, that had nothing whatsoever to do with what we're learning. Okay. What? That's a big machlok stachron. Big machlok stachron. Anyway, it's Usher even without Hanan. Usher even without Hanan. Because cooking the water rehydrates.
If it doesn't flee, it would have been okay, right?
Yes. The basar b'chalav itself. The problem is that no one's going to buy from the butcher shop if the butcher says you can only do flea, you can't cook it. I mean, not no, but it'll be a big restriction, right? Then no one in this town can have anything but barbecue meat until the next train comes. No, when the next shipment comes, which is a while from those days. Okay. Anyway, that's the Shach. Halacha l'maisa, we pass in be'etzem like the Sefer Truma. We pass in be'etzem like the Sefer Truma, meaning not like the kula of the smak. We assume it is a problem, but only because of Hanan. And that's why the Mechaber did not use an example of treif, even though we're not in Hilchos Haruvos. He used an example of Basar B'Chalav, because for the Mechaber, there's no Chanan B'Shar Yisurin, only by Basar B'Chalav. Here, the Shach had a little bones pick of the Mechaber. He says, Basar B'Chalav into Mayim is just like Shari Yisurin, it's not like Basar B'Chalav. But we already mentioned this previously in Sfetzadi Dalet, the Beis Yosef thinks Basar B'Chalav into Mayim counts as Basar B'Chalav, and therefore we say Mitra Panah. Okay. So that I would put on the board because we already have some inside the downlet. Now the question is, are we ever Mekel? So apparently we are Mekel. We're Mekel if we have a Tzad Lahakel to be Mitzarif to the Smach. Which Tzad Lahakel will be Mitzarif to the Smach in this Mechaber? If you have a Tzarif of Smach plus Rabbeinu Tam, then it is mutter. How do you have a tzeirif of the smak plus Rabbeinu Tam? Let's imagine basar, chalav, mayim, tavshil. And let's remember, less than 24 hours, more than 24 hours. What's the tzeirif? Says the mechaber, if kodem sha'avar layla achas huchmu b'mayim. What if acher layla achas huchmu b'mayim? What if this is less than 24 hours, but layla achas? It was less than 24 hours, but it was a whole night. Then we're mekel. Why? Because according to the smak, it's mutter because it's more than 24 hours. And according to the tam, it's mutter because the mayim never became chanan. It never became treif. The mayim is kosher. Right? Basically, this mayim is kosher lefi Rabbeinu Tam, and this tavshil is kosher lefi smach. So lemaisa, we're making a tzeirif of both those things that the tavshil is kosher. Okay, that's the psak of the Mechaber. Where does it get you controversial? And here, this is for reasons that we're not going to go into. The Achronim will go to town on it. Says the Ramah, of a over lila mutter, that's clearly a deep Mechaber. If a lila passed its mutter, that's the tzeirif of the smach and Rabbeinu Tam. The chenim of relying the official basar l'cholav, avagav d'acharka huchmu amayim miyad, nami dino hachi. Says the Ramah, likewise, what if this wasn't a layla achas, but there's a layla achas between the basar and the cholav? You also have a tzeirif. According to Rabbi Tam, it was never basar l'cholav in the first place. No, it's not gotten the meat and the milk. And going to the smak, this is mutter. So what if the case was? Here, so what do we say? We say mutter. Let's just do these two other cases. Basar, chalav, mayim, tavshil, less than 24, more than 24, and there's a layla achas here. So, from the chalav and on down is kosher lefi Rabbeinu Tam. And this tavshil is kosher lefi smak. Says the Ramah mutter. Says the Mechaber, doesn't really relate to it so much. Says the Shach, usher. Nope, that's not a valid seer for the Tzadim Lahakel. Okay. Even though it's the same two Tzadim Lahakel, no. There, we're not Mekel. Okay, this ties into some Kloli Sfeik Sfeika, to some Kloli Sfeik Sfeika in Yonim. I would modify it a little, let's say a little better. The Shach says, Shach is Choshesh Le'isser. He doesn't say 100%. He's sure, but he's Choshesh, might be Usser. Why? The basic premise is, without getting into the details, because over here, Rabbeinu Tam came up when you weren't sure if it was Bas B'Chalav or not. That was a Daraisa Shaila. In Daraisa Shaila, we're not passing against Rabbeinu Tam V'Vadai, and therefore can't count Rabbeinu Tam. Third case is Basar,
chalav mayim havshel. Again, less than 24, less than 24, more than 24. And where's the Laila Achas? Well, there's only one slot left to put it. Laila Achas was here. Yes?
I thought the reason the Shach said is because you're really using the same heter. It just happens to manifest into the weight. So instead of saying it's two speakers.
No, I think that's in this case.
Okay.
Here, this Kavshel is kosher lefir Rabbeinu Tam because it's been already a full night since the Mayim, and also kosher lefi smak, because according to the smak, we don't restart the clock, and it's been more than 24 hours since the tavshel, since the treif. Here, the Ramadan saying the Torah's Kata, here, but in the Torah's Kata says mutter. Interestingly, the Machaber is mefurish that it's osur. So the Machaber says it's osur until 24 hours past after the Mayim. Laila Achas not enough after the Mayim. The Machaber is meduyak that it's usher, and the Shach says it's usher. The Shach says, even the Ramah didn't have the chutzpah to write here in the Shulchan Aruch. He must have changed his mind and not been sorry on this. Okay, why? In this case, that's more what Noach was saying, because if you look through the prism of Holy Spitzvika, over here, you can't really say there are like two different Sodom Mahakim, because they're both on the same Chefza. So it's really only one Sodom Mahakim. Basically, Rabbeinu Tam says the taste in the Tavshah was Lufgam, and the Smach says the taste in the Tavshah was Lufgam. It's not really two Sodom Mahakim. Okay, Lamaisa, there's a lot to analyze as to why, how to differentiate between these three seemingly equivalent cases, but we'll leave it for now. Halacha Lamaisa, how do we paskin? The Achronim paskin like the Ramah here, and the Achronim paskin like the Shach here. Right? They're Mako in case the Ramah was Mako in the Mapa, but they're Macher in the case from the Torah's Chattas, which we're not even sure if the Ramah was confident enough of to write in the Shulchan Aruch. Let's just add one more Ramah. Last case. What if we have Shar Isurin? And then Mayim, and then Tavshel. And, of course, the classic, less than 24 hours, and more than 24 hours. But it's Shar Isurin. For Sfardim, there's nothing to talk about. It's only common because Hanan, because we hold like the Sefer Torah, there's no Hanan. What about for Ashkenaz? So, what are the Stodim Mahakel? Stodim Mahakel are the Smak, and what else? What's the other side of the Hakel here? Rabbein or Ephraim. There's no Hanan Mishari Suri. We don't pass that way, but it's the side of the Hakel. Anyone actually think of another Tzad L'Hakel? Lach B'Lach, the Raya and the Mordechai, right? Hanan B'Lach B'Lach, right? There's no Hanan and Lach B'Lach. Here it's Lach B'Lach. What do you mean Lach B'Lach? Bleed us into water. It's Lach B'Lach. There's no Chatzich, there's no piece of anything, right? So we also have the Tzad L'Hakel of the...
We had been assuming before that either water or carb, but I guess they were not.
Here, the water could be water, car, or flesh, it also makes no difference, right?
But it can't be with pieces like we were assuming before.
What if it was with pieces like we were assuming before? Then, yesh ayin, because A, first of all, like yesh ayin in that, if it goes into pieces, because even if it goes into pieces, then those pieces aren't here anymore. It's just the blios that go back into the pot, and those blios are definitely not a chaticha. So that gets complicated, but it's still a tzad. Right? Meaning, lemaisa, those chatichas never touched by tavshel. Only a blia that went from those chatichas back into the water, and then back into the pot. Okay. Right. So, therefore, what does the Ramah say? Interestingly, these are apparently not as big a tzad as Rabbeinu Tam. Right? There's no laila achas. Not Laila Achas. Not Laila Achas. Rabbeinu Tam is not a factor here. Therefore, what do we say? Mutter ben makom hefsid. What kind of hefsid? And also, can't say it, because very logical. What kind of hefsid?
Ruba.
No, it can't be Ruba. You know why? Because it has a Ruba or a Mako by Rabbeinu Ephraim Alach Balach, even without the smock. So it must be even ben makom hefsid, what? Even a small hefsid. So basically, it's mutter in normal cases.
Is this just that this, I think it's out, she does that just,
No, I think it's they don't say, but it's logically machrach, meaning he has such a good proof. I don't see how you could disagree. What's his proof? His proof is even that the smak ramako, where meko makam hefsid ruba. So what's the chiddush darma? Must be hefsid muat.
It have to be a
chiddush. Yeah, but that's dachuk. You're right, but I think that's dachuk. I think that's dachuk. Yes. No, you don't have a full Laila Achas. Meaning, again, you cook Shari Surin at noon, you cook Mayim at midnight, and you cook a Tavshil at 1 p.m. You never have Laila Achas. Because it has to be a full Laila. Okay, so much for Simen Kof Gimel, Hadron of Simen Kof Gimel. I just wanted to discuss two things, one of which has to do with Simen Kof Gimel, and the other was a tangent. But as a Shaila, I get asked every Monday, Thursday, so I thought it's worth discussing. I don't know if you hang out with Ida Haridis or equivalently Machmir circles. But let's say I buy a pot. I buy a pot or a pan. I buy a pot. A regular pot from a Goyish company, wherever. Okay, what do I have to do? I have to total it. And then it's okay to use. Okay, that's one shita. What do some people do? What do some people hold? You have to kasher it. You have to do a gola. You have to kasher it before you use it. There's many people who are nohag that you have to kasher. Again, I'm not sure how many people mamish. I said nohag to mamish paskin. I'm not sure how many, because if you read the fine print, it's always nohagin yish machmirin, etc. But there's certainly in some circles, some neighbors of Yerushalayim, if you put a new pot, you said you put a new pot and you cooked it without hagolah, they'd look at you like you're a guy. Why? Well, I know you'll find this on the Achronim, because we're choshesh that the guy used it for ham before he sold it to you. That's not the reason why. Everyone knows that nowadays, if you buy a pot in Costco, that the guy in the factory, Mustafa was a ham-eating guy, did not cook in this pot before he shipped it from China. I don't think it's ham in China. He's a bat-eating guy. Did not cook in this pot before he packed it up in the factory and shipped it to Costco. What's the chash? The chash is when they manufacture things, you need oil to grease the machinery. And it's on the assembly line, they have to oil the pots to make them slide nicely down the assembly line. And therefore, the Eid Haredis either has a hashkocha. It's one of the reasons they have hashkocha in aluminum pans. That when it says Eid Haredis in aluminum pans, one of the meanings is they check that it's kosher, meaning that the oil they use, all manufacturers need oil, but that it's not animal-based oil. And otherwise you have to kasher it. So in many places there is a minhag that you have to kasher new pots. However, and here I'm just basing myself on some research. You can find it on the Orsamach website, or Yehuda Spitz, who did a lot of research. He said that the normal, why have you never heard of this? Because this is not, he actually said, he read everything about Ida Haredis said, none of them actually said it's halacha. They just said that it's our practice. You don't really have to do this. And he brings down many, many poskim. The main reason for the kula is because the oil they use in the manufacturing of pots, even, first of all, likely it was not animal-based, meaning I'm not talking about glycerin and things you use for food. Here we're talking about manufacturing, right? Manufacturing materials are usually not animal-based. And even if it is, the kind of oil they use for manufacturing is pogum legamre and not really ligare, because it tastes disgusting. Why? Because it's not food grade. It's not meant to be used for food. So therefore, we don't worry about this at all. Taka, there is some small chance they might have used some animal-based oil in the processing on the machinery or whatever to make it shiny or whatever the case may be. Even if they did, it wasn't like oil that mamish came from the animal. It was turned into machine oil. And therefore, it's already pogum, and it's no problem whatsoever. So that's why we should not follow this chumra of, I mean, I guess you can do whatever you want. It's a free country, but, we should not follow this chumra of kashering new pots. Some people are more careful on Pesach, even though it really is, meaning, however likely it's that it's animal oil, the odds that it's wheat-derived oil are much, much, much less. Right, if it's kidneys, it's not a problem.
So yeah, people are always crazy on Pesach, but even for Pesach, we're not machmer. And it's not just pots, aluminum pans also. If you buy without the Eidah Haredes, you can buy regular aluminum pans without the Eidah Haredes, and you don't have to kosher them even for Pesach.
Another great thing in terms of provoling them,
I mean,
aluminum pans, if they're made by a Jew.
Oh, we're not up to tovoling yet. Oh, okay. Okay, we're up to koshering. Oh, because they make the pots with heat. The factories use heat to make pots. Meaning, the factories are hot. How do they get the metal into the shape? Right? They use heat. They use heat. Right? They don't take a piece of metal and start bending it, you know, with pliers. It's all, you know, they heat the metal so that it's pliable. And that's how they make things out of it. Right, so you're right. In the manufacturing, it's all hot. No, in Chametz there's no Heder Reina Ben Yom, there's nothing to talk about. So, you don't even get off the ground. Okay. As a tangent of that, though, there's a much more serious chashash. Nowadays, it's become very popular to have cast iron pots. Cast iron pots, by the way, I mentioned this once, I'll mention it again. Remember how we talked about the real philosophical hashkafic issue that our pots nowadays don't really have bleos like the old pots, etc. I was talking about stainless steel. The cast iron still has bleos like the old days.
I haven't asked for a melamed,
but like Benzias, the cast iron is, I don't mean has much bleos heret, bleos is heret in the old days, but probably, because I'll talk about bleos and heret, but bleos and clean hoshes. So the cast iron is like they're clean of choshes, meaning just because it's metal, don't think that, oh, Chazal must have been talking about pnimius because everyone knows metal is not balea. No. Some metals are more, benzias, some metals are more balea, some metals are less balea. Stainless steel, which was not invented in the time of Chazal and the Rishonim, was called stainless because it's not balea. But, okay, then we still are machmer, right? Our mainstream menot. But cast iron is just old-fashioned. Of course it's balea. Now it gets complicated, you seal it, etc., you know, but okay, that's just like an old day. Sometimes we'll lay more, sometimes less, depends on the circumstances. That's clearly what Chazal had in mind. So no one, I don't think even the people who are willing to be very bold to reevaluate the halach and light of modern science would not be have any clues once you're dealing with cast iron, a lifestyle, because that is mamish. That's the whole point. Meaning the people who go for cast iron, there are many good reasons to use cast iron, I've been told, for cooking. But I think it's really part of a certain like way of looking at the world. You want to do things the old-fashioned way. You know, it's even though, again, I'm sure some real chef would tell you there's a lot of big advantages, and he's right. But I think people mostly do it from a certain granola perspective. You know, they want to cook like they did 1,000 years ago, which is might be a good idea in this particular case. But just keep in mind that that even Rabbi Lamed would not be making all the bleos there because they have mamish bleos. How do we know that? I'm basing that on what I've. Okay, that's not fair to say what I've read, what I've heard, but that's not a real mucker. Okay, I'll have to footnote it, but I'm basing on that YouTube. It's Bavos.
Sorry.
Bavost. Okay, I win.
For those of us on T-Deck, what is it?
You have to come early to Gemara Shir. Bavost means well known in Yiddish. Anyway, and with the cast iron, there's a chop here. The chop of the cast iron is that it has to be seasoned. Seasoned means you have to use a certain kind of oil to like seal it in, which actually does prevent some bleos, other than that oil that's sealed in. But it's meant to prevent it from rusting, right? Cast iron will rust. That the real stainless steel is that it doesn't rust. Cast iron will rust. The way to protect it from rust, right? Water makes it rust. Very hard to cook without water. The way to keep it from rusting is you like seal a layer of oil on the outside, which protects it from water and rust. A lot of cast iron pots come pre-seasoned. And after you use it for a while, it wears off, you have to redo it. It's a lot of maintenance. In the old days, there was more maintenance involved. So a lot of them come pre-seasoned with oil. That's a much bigger shaila because that is food-grade oil, right? I mean, cast iron pots are seasoned with food-grade oil. That's the whole chop. It's like, you know, it's something, it touches all your, you know, it's meant as part of the cooking process. So pre-season cast iron pots, what's pshat? After all, we don't know what kind of oil the manufacturer used. If you do know, then you're in luck. But often you don't know what kind of oil the manufacturer used. And, you know, not always can you just trust if you call the manufacturer and say, do you use animal or vegetable-based oil to season your pots? So you can't necessarily believe everything they say on the phone. Okay, it's a big machlokes at poskim, whether you can believe anything, not the phone, anything that they say in an official document. But, you know, you don't always have an official document. It's not always necessarily believable. So, or they might just say, I don't know, we use oil. what do you do with cast iron pots? That's a much, and it's not nothing, no sound of gum is not going to help you here, meaning they use good oil. That's a big machlokas among the modern day poskim. I'll tell you three opinions. Rabelski, I haven't found this on the OU website, I've just found this quoted BPS Shmua. Rabelski says that it's a chash of treif oil. Because again, food grade oil is decently likely to have animal, you know, sources, or to be a mixture of animal sources or something. You have to kosher it, and first you have to scrub off all the sealing oil, and then kosher it. You have to scrub off the oil and then kosher it. That's Rabelski, very machmir. Rav Gedal Yudov Schwartz in the CRC. I think so. I'm not a bucky, but yes, I believe so. Basically, when you just use a cast iron pot stam and you scrub it a lot of times in sink dishwashing, you're going to have to reseal it, right? Yeah, you can tell, right? It's shiny. Okay, so when it stops being shiny. So he says you have to scrub off all of the, first you have to scrub off all the oil, and then you have to kosher it. Rav Gedal Yudov Schwartz of the CRC has an in-between shita. He says you just have to kosher it. But you don't have to scrub anything off first, because even though you're supposed to clean off be'en before you kosher it, this isn't called be'en. It's only a bli'ah. What?
That's only bidiyavid, though, you're saying.
No, we're talking about kosher it.
Yeah, I'm saying in order to be able to kosher it, though, should you remove any residue?
Yes, but he said, Gedal Yudov Schwartz says there is no residue. We don't count this as residue. Residue is only something that you can see as a separate thing. If it's just shiny, that's not called residue. Meaning, shininess is not a be'en. That's where Schwartz's word. Shininess is not a be'en, so you could just kosher it without scrubbing it first. Although he points out that that it's hard to kosher, if you're going to kosher cast iron with Haggalah, since it's very thick and heavy, you have to leave it in the water for a long time to make sure that it gets hot, because otherwise the inside won't get hot. And the most makel sheeted are Shlomo Miller from Toronto. Solomon Miller from Toronto says it's mutter stam. Why? Because when they seal it, they heat it up very hot. And that's what's called Lieben Kal, we'll learn about. And Lieben Kal counts as kashering in this circumstance. And therefore, it's already kashered in the factory because they heat it up as the last step in processing.
Kasher by
non-Jew. A non-Jew can kasher if you know that he did so. He's not believed to tell you kashered, but if that's the process, you don't have to believe him. I mean, you don't have to believe a non-Jew that he got up and put on his pants in the morning. And that's what people do.
They put the oil on.
Right, that's what's funny. Meaning, yes, they heat it up, but while they put the potentially treif oil on, does that count? Can you kasher something simultaneously with treifing it up? So, Shlomo Miller's makel. And he's not usually a makel. Okay, so that's a big machlokas for Shlomo Miller's Mako, and he's mitzaris in fact that you don't even know if it was treif in the first place, right? So it's a suffix. They might have used animal oil, they might not have. Anyway, so those are the three main shitas of, again, there's no shachts and tazs about this. This is a new mitzias. This is a new mitzias. Again, Shlomo Miller says everyone agrees it needs to be kashered because of shash and treif oil. Shlomo Miller says it's considered kashered as soon as it gets treif. Rav Schwartz says you just have to kasher it now. And Rabelski says, B'pia Shmua, that you have to scrub it well until it's not shiny and then kosher it. They actually said, they showed Rav Miller, who said it's kosher in the factory. They said, oh, but there's still stuff here. Look, you can scrape it off and you can see a little stuff. So he looked at that stuff, he scraped it off. And he says, yeah, but that's all burnt and not really lafil anymore. Lieben Kal
even a little bit in. It burns it so that it becomes mutter, because now it's ashes. So he says, no problem. It does a good job of sealing. No, actually, because you're not eating it on purpose. It's just sealing.
People want the iron.
No, but they don't want it to eat it. They just want it to seal the water out of the cast iron. No one wants to eat the tom of the sealing of the cast iron.
I just did a Google search now, and it said that people stop they purposely want that oil, that iron coming out of the cast iron cast. It gives you like an iron supplement.
No, but that's the iron, not the seal, not the oil. No one wants the oil. No, that's the way it's manufactured. I think he's right. I'm not a bucky, but that's what he always works. Okay, halacha lemaisa, no one really, there's no clear minig olam with this because it's a very new metzias. Halacha lemaisa, if people ask me, you know, I say, okay, you don't want to be so much on whatever, but we like the shvil hazav here, the derech hamemutza. And therefore I say that you don't have to scrub everything off, but you have to kasher it. And if you want to kasher it with libun kal instead of hagalah, then that's even better, because libun kal even destroys ban. So we'll see what libun kal means, that you now again put it in an oven at, you know, 600 degrees or 550 degrees for an hour, etc. Or you do hagalah in boiling water and just let it sit long enough to make sure that it gets hot. Rav Schwartz says that you put in the water and wait for it to start boiling strongly again, because it cools off the water by going in and it has so much mass, right? How much cools off the water is mass, right? Mass times delta of temperature equals mass times delta of temperature, etc. So you wait till it starts bubbling strongly again, and then you know it's kosher. Okay, so you have to kosher. Lieben kal might be the best, and if not, then hagala. That's what I posken when people ask me. Even though, you know, it's very hard to have vados in such a new shaila. Okay, any other questions, Ben? They trafed up their cast iron skillets. If they trafed up their cast iron skillet, then the assumption is once someone knows they bevadai trafed up the cast iron skillet, then we have less sudden lahakel. You can't say maybe it was trafed, maybe it wasn't, and you can't say maybe they kashered in the factory like Shlomo Miller. So then we assume that they should either scrub it well into hagala. And if it's a skillet, it might need libun. That's what we have to. Skillets or frying pans, right? But depending on the circumstances. Okay, they should either scrub it well and do hagala or do libun kal. They have to kosher. But it gets complicated in terms of how to kosher frying pans. You know, we'll get to it.
Then
it would be no different than a stainless steel one.
Will we send a cast iron
pot? No, I did not say it's like a chlicharis. I said it has significant blios. But the difference is Klicheres has tons of significant blios, and therefore it's not kosherable. The cast iron pot has a little significant blios, and therefore it's kosherable. That's what I mean. Man, the cast iron pot is like the real metal of Chazal, which had blios but was kosherable. Okay. Simon Kof Dalet. Din Achbar Shem Tzav Yayin O Bas Shechar. Okay, there's a whole story. This actually happened. We won't go through the story in the Gemara. Let's go through the Shulchan Aruch. Achbar De Dabra, a field mouse. Notes it down the Shvachu. Ah, the tom of a field mouse is tom l'shvach. Why? Showing olal shulchan malachim. Because it's olal shulchan malachim. Excuse me, you have to turn it back to you. Right? King's eat. It's fancy food, field mice. I'm not sure exactly what a field mouse is. Rashi says it's a squirrel. Meaning, Rashi says squirrel in French. I assume a squirrel in French is the same as squirrel in English. So, where I live, neither field mice nor squirrels are olal shulchan malachim. But, okay, once upon a time, maybe it was, in some parts of America, they're not necessarily the Shulchan Malachim communities, but they eat squirrels, and they apparently like them very much. Okay, but fine, we'll take their word for it. An achbar de dabra, whatever it is, maybe it's a squirrel like Rashi, is delicious, and you know what? A lot of people like to eat squirrels in rural America. And in the old days, even the kings. What? Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So
I'm saying in those communities.
Oh, in those communities. You say not in Manhattan. Right. Right. Only red restaurants, not blue restaurants. I understand. Okay. Yes. What is it? 74.2 million people have squirrels in their restaurants in America. Fine. Okay. Aval achbar demasa, mesaf galan, aval achbar demasa, mesaf galan mashbiach, v'sheikh v'chomatzol o'um u'pogim. Achbar demasa, a regular city mouse, like a mamish mouse, we're sure is tam lifgam. It's disgusting. But they're mesupak, what about sheikhar? Well, I take that back. Okay, seemingly, let's assume for now, we're sure it's tam lifgam, but we're mesupak whether in sheikhar or chometz it could be a tam lishmach or not. Because, you know, sheikhar and chometz, vinegar and beer, are strong fermented beverages or drink liquids. And therefore, it could be that even something that doesn't taste good normally might have a good effect on sheikhar or chometz. So the Gemara is mesupak. It happens a case, and they were trying to prove it, and they couldn't prove it. It was a bayit loishit in the end. We're not sure, and therefore we have to be machmir. That a mouse would be tam lishmach in chometz and sheikhar. If so, the rest of this till the end is pretty possible. There shouldn't be any surprises. If it falls into cold beer or vinegar and you take it out intact and it's after less than 24 hours, it's mutter. Why? Because there is no bleed at all, because taste doesn't transfer in cold things that soak for less than 24 hours. There's nothing to talk about. Well, why you're teach if it was boiling, hot. Or it was cold and it soaked for 24 hours. What do we call that when it soaks for 24 hours? Kavoshke mivushal. Then, bein sheisi roshal, whether you take it out intact, again, we have to mishar to get kula, right? Because we don't know how much taste came out of it. Bein shenechtach lechatikos dakos yochol sanuch sanenis. Or it crumbled in a little piece and you strain them out, but still all the taste went in. Bein shenechtach lechatikos dakos yochol sanuch sanenis. Even if you strain out every little piece, still the taste went in. Bein shenechtach lechatikos dakos yochol sanuch. Whether it melted in, v'nasa kula mashke, and became liquid. V'lonishtayim v'nishum ha-mashke, so no solid was left. Either way, it's the same rule. Nitar al deshi shisha mehetu kenegra achbar. Okay, that's very poshut. Whether it melted in, or whether you removed it whole, or whether you removed it piece by straining, and the tam went in, you need 60 to move out to the tam. If there's 60 times such chomish and shaker, it's mutter, and if, which is probably the case, if there's only 59 times, it's aser. So far, no chidushim. Here's the interesting part. Imartute imartut. The Gemara at one point has to prove from a case that was usher, and they say, no, you can't prove in that case. That was imartut, imartut. That's poshut usher. It's not clear what it means, but everyone follows Rashi. It's a machlokas, but lamaisa, everyone follows. All the mainstream Rishonim follow Rashi, means it fell apart. The imnechtach lechatichos dakos, if it doesn't mean nechtach, someone cut it. It means it fell apart. If it fell apart into little pieces, and you can't strain them out, why can't you strain them out? Any little piece of my vinegar I can put through a strainer? No. Going to say, sheikhar chometz machal up. Like, I already mixed the sheikhar chometz into a thick stew. So now I can't tell which pieces are mouse and which pieces are regular food. Hakol usher, it's all usher. If it ain't sham bittel, and there's no bittel, the chashina shem yivka b'mashal ishav lo yargish, because we're afraid you might eat a piece of isser without noticing. Okay. Says this is the chumra v'martute marta. When it falls apart into little pieces and is not strainable, it's usher. And the Ramah, v'davka b'sheretz yishlachosh in nishar sham shloich latzio. This is only a problem if it's a sheretz, if it's there and you can't strain it out. Avo b'shari serin lachosh, other trade things were not choshesh. What does he mean by sheretz? Close, but you meant not seven, but... The Shmona Shvatzim, the eight, right? By Sheretz, again, right? Not like all the high school kids who think that, not like all the high school kids who think that if you touch a bug, you're tame because a Sheretz is an av hatoma, right? We know bugs are not matame alive or dead. They're not matame alive or dead. The Shvatzim that are an av hatoma are the Shmona Shvatzim said in the Torah, which none of which are bugs. They are all small animals, such as Achbar, Vacholid, Vatsov, Anakav, Vakoch, Vatav, Vachomet, Vat, and Shamanis. We're not sure exactly what all of them are, but Achbar definitely means Achbar is one of them. Okay. A mouse, a toad, I don't remember what all of them are. Okay. If you want to know all the, you want to know all the Shitas, what the Shmona Shvatzim are, just look at Arya Kaplan's Torah right there in Shmini. It brings down, what? Oh, Rabbi Slifkin, of course. Rabbi Slifkin. Vada. Okay. Anyway, he brings down from all the Rishonim, Arim, Gaonim, and etc., etc., all the different shitas as to what they are. And by the way, it's 100% mochrach that Sav is a toad, not a turtle. One of the Shemona Shratzim is a toad, not a turtle. Don't be confused by modern Hebrew. Yes. Rashi says it's a toad. You just have to know French to tell.
You get a lot of things.
Yeah. And that's why, what does the Gemara always say? A guy touched something and it was dark and he wasn't sure if it was a sheretz or? What is the Gemara's case always? No. What does the Gemara always say? Suffolk, it was a sheretz, Suffolk. It was a tzardeya. You don't remember that from all over Shas? Why is it always a suffix, sheretz, suffix, tzardeya? It's like, go tell the difference between a toad and a frog. I mean, I can't tell the difference even if I can examine them for as long as I wanted. But even in the old days, when they knew the difference between a toad and a frog, if you touch something in the dark, whatever, it's hard to tell without looking closely what's a toad, what's a frog. I'm honest, I have no idea. You probably know the difference.
I mean, it's pretty easy, honestly, you know the rules. One of them is slippery and slimy, one of them is. That's like a really a
toad. Toads are rough and frogs are slippery slide.
Yeah.
Really cool. I never knew that.
Yeah,
okay, go show.
They didn't have a real nomenclature, so they didn't like. Aha,
I see.
I'm pretty sure it's obvious,
but I don't know. Got it. Got it. Okay. All right. So, okay. It's good to know. You never know when that might. First of all, come in handy when the Beis Hamikdash is built for some of the Torah. And even meanwhile, you know, if you're, you know, if you want to know who will turn into a prince, then it's only the frog, right? Not the toad. Okay. What? Yeah, that's a big nafkamina, according to Ramah. If the toad falls apart in your cholent, then it's usher. But if a frog falls apart in your cholent, it's mutter. That's the sheet of the Ramah, only the Shmona Shratzim. And by the way, Agav, on Tumah V'Tara, also, of course, the Shmona Shratzim only time. They're dead. As it says before, if you touch a live mouse, then it does not, it has no Tumah V'Tara implications. And as a matter of fact, nowadays, it's just from all scientific perspective, much better health wise than touching a person. What basis of this machlokas, though? What's the basis of the machlokas? Says the Ramah, only the Shmona Shratzim. Says the Machaber, it looks like an argument from silence. He doesn't say only Shmona Shratzim. That's not necessarily a proof. His example is a mouse. But if you look in the Beis Yosef, it's clear that he doesn't think it's only the Shmona Shratzim, as the Chronim point out. I'm about to tell you. Because what's the problem here? The problem here is Azoy. Is why is it not Batel? It fell apart, you can't find it anymore. There's a ton of pieces here. If there's a ton of pieces here, then why is it not batel? Pieces of things are batel, right? Meaning a whole sheretz wouldn't be batel. I mean, you'd like to be able to identify it, right? But it's not a period, right? It falls into pieces. So why isn't it batel? I understand it's not batel lach balach. Why is it batel yamish b'yamish? What if you have pieces of meat? You have a treif steak falls apart into a lot of little pieces, and it gets mixed with a stew carrying a lot of pieces of kosher steaks. So all the little pieces are batel yavish b'yavish, because not a davar chashev. So why isn't it batel yavish b'yavish? What's the chav and the chaver? Even if there's shishim, it's not batel. Hakol asher ain't shum bittel. There's no bittel. Because we're afraid you might eat a piece of treif. Every yavish b'yavish, we're afraid you might eat a piece of treif. Anytime I have one treif meatball that gets mixed with five kosher meatballs, I might eat a piece of treif. I mean, the odds are pretty high that I'll eat a piece of treif. And yet it's mutter because it's batel. That's called bittel. So what's pshat? Why is there no bittel? That's what concerns everyone here. That's what starts the machlokas. Why is there no bittel yavish b'yavish? And when Mechaber says, because you might eat a piece of treif without noticing, what do you mean? Every yavish b'yavish, you're allowed to eat a piece of treif without noticing. That's the rule of bittel.
Why
not
yavish balach? Isn't it
in the stew? No, because it isn't a stew. It's a but if it was just yavish and liquid, you could strain it out. It's because there's pieces of stew food and pieces of mouse, and all those pieces are mixed together. So it's yavish and lach and yavish.
That was lach balach.
Then it would. If the mouse melted, it would be balach b'shishim lach balach. Right? But the mouse didn't melt. So the mouse is less than a 60th. Let's assume it's less than a 60th. The time of the mouse is bottled. It's only the end of the mouse that's not bottled. But why not? It's bottled to the other pieces. That's the kasha that everyone has. Remember we said a few times, if you cook treif in a stew, it's a double problem. It has a tam gets mu'urvin, and the be'en is mu'urv, right? This is the case, remember, like, you cook a chaticha of treif in a stew, and then you don't recognize it? So the tam is a problem, and the be'en is a problem. But here, let's say it's less than a 60th, right? So the tam is batel b'shisha. But there's still be'en. You have to throw out all the meat if it's a chaticha re'ilis kabed. Because a chatichah l'skabi is not batal, but if it's big pieces of meat, you have to throw out all the meat. But if it's small pieces of meat, you can eat them all. And here it's small pieces, because the mouse fell apart. That's exactly. If it would be a full mouse that somehow looked exactly like, you know, a mouse-shaped piece of beef, you know, that there were eight others of in the stew, then you'd be able to eat them. Then there won't be treif to the burial. But if it's a piece, exactly. There's like a chatichah she'enu l'skabi that gets mixed with the other chatichahs and cooked in a stew. As long as less than a 60th batel. So why is there no bitul yavish b'yavish? That's the question everyone has. And what does the Ramah and the Shach say? The Shach agrees with Ramah. They say based on Rashi. What is Rashi saying? Now, just to be fair, the Taz also knows Rashi. And he doesn't have the chutzpah to say Rashi's wrong. He just says Rashi's lav dafka. Meaning Rashi wasn't explaining the halacha. He was just like throwing in some extra. Why is there no bitul yavish be yavish in this case? So says the Ramah and the Shach, because it's a birya.
Ah, how is it a birya? It's only a piece. Here they have a big fish. What's the chaf of a birya? Why is a birya so chashuv? What do we find on the Doraisa level that makes a birya chashuv? What phenomenon? What? No. But what phenomenon? How does its chashuvus express itself on a Doraisa level? You get malchus less than a kezias. What do they say? Anything you get malchus less than a kezias is chashuv and is a birya. And here's a chiddush. This is machlokes we've shown whether we pass it this way, but it's at least one day in the Gemara we're assuming we pass it this way. Anyone remember the shear of a sheretz that's matame, that's an avatoma? A kadosha, the size of a lentil. Notice a lentil is much less than a kezias, right? No matter whose shear of kezias you have, a lentil is much smaller. A lentil is very small. There's a day in the Gemara, which let's assume we paskin like, which Rashi's paskin like here, that just like it's mitami b'kadosha, you get malchus for a kadosha of sheretz. Not a frog or a bug. Only one of the shmona shrotzim, which are mitami. A kadosha of shmona shrotzim gets you malchus. So put two and two together. Just like a whole ant gets malchus, so it's chashuv even though it's less than exayas. A kadosha of sheretz gets malchus, so it's chashuv even though it's less than exayas. Now, that's a leap, because an ant is a whole organism, and this is not. This is just a lower quantity. But that's the chap, right? A kadosha of the shmona shrotzim, only the shmona shrotzim, not anything else, is a birya, because you get malchus, even though it's less than a kezias. It's not so clear because it's not enough gemina was about zeh, but the Ramah assumes so. Yeah, the Ramah does. Right? No, I think he's assuming that's a paska that way. I think so. Yeah. No, by the shmona shrotzim they were, but not by other creepy crawlies. Meaning only by the eight things in the Torah, only by mice and toads, not by cockroaches and frogs, not by worms. Not by snakes. Snakes are big things. You know, only the eight things mentioned in the Torah, whatever they are, which, you know, we'll identify to the best of our ability. Certainly, they don't include frogs. That's clear. And they don't include bugs. That's clear. And they don't include just a treif steak from ShopRite, right? You buy treif meat from ShopRite, it falls apart into little pieces in your stew, no problem, because it's not a birya. Only the Shmona Shrotzim. That's the Sheet of the Ramah and the Shach in the Tirish Sifsei Kohen before he modifies it a little. Okay. The Taz has a different shot. The Beis Yosef does not agree with this. The Taz, and basically the Beis Yosef sounds this way. Beis Yosef is not as explicit.
But it really sounds this way,
right? Let's put it in parentheses. And the BCL say, right? The BCLs are not quite as explicit. He says, no, it's nafkamina. What's the nafkamina? Only usur if it's the shlona shrotzim. He says, no, any isser. This will apply to any isser. What's the reason? The reason is because it is an isser nicker. He says, what do you mean you can't remove the pieces of mouse? What do you mean you can't remove the mouse pieces? You can't strain out the mouse pieces because it's in a big stew. But you could take the stew, spread it on a light box. You know, it's a large stew, so you might need 20 rounds. Take the stew a couple at a time, spread it in a light box, examine each piece, feel it, look at it, and you'll figure out which pieces are from mice and which pieces are from other things, right? You can identify the pieces. If you can identify the pieces, then
they're not buttle.
It's there's nicker, and it's not buttle, even though it's practically impossible to remove. Oh, it's practically impossible to remove. Nonetheless, since you could theoretically identify, I mean, it's in a stew of other things which are not the same as mice. You could, if you worked hard enough, figure out which are the mice and which aren't. Again, very reminiscent of the bugs and some things, right? You could theoretically identify this, therefore it's not bottle. Oh, there's no partial way to remove them. It might be impractical to remove them, but you could. Okay, then he points out, let's just have two of them. Pshatim.
The Taz brings down the Rashba. The Rashba says whatever you can't remove is bottle, even if it's recognizable.
His example is that there's a kind of cheese which has some goyish milk in it, and that goyish milk you can sort of see a little like liquid, but you can't actually remove it. Because like when you try to remove it, it just like gets squeezed from one part into the other part. So the Rashba says whatever you can't remove is bottle. So the Taz says, Ladasa Rashba, he modifies it. Taz Ladasa Rashba modifies this a little, and he says, no. He says, an iser nicker that can't be removed is bottle. This needs a lot of lumps. Okay, you're going to have to think about the lumps or discuss with me during Seder tomorrow. It is bottle. But it is bottle. That's if you eat it in the stew. But if it gets separated, I mean,
yeah, the truth is maybe this isn't really a lot of lumps. You know, I take it back. This is not really such hard lumps.
But if it's separated from the taroves, it is usur. What's pshat?
Something which is not nicker. Something which, the treif meatball that looks just like the five kosher meatballs, even if I separate out the treif meatball, it's still going to stay bottle. Because like, how do I know I separate out the treif meatball? Like, they all look the same. They're still conceptually mixed because I can't tell which is which. But in this case, taka is bottle. Since there's no practical way to remove the mouse pieces, they're bottle. But what if one mouse piece goes in my spoon and all of a sudden is outside the mixture? Now, if I just look at it carefully and tell what it is, how can you say it's bottle anymore? It's not like the meatball. The meatballs, even if I remove it, it's mixed because there's no way to tell which is which. Here, it's pashut. I don't think you need any lumdus. In fact, it's fedina. It's just logical. If I took it out and now anyone who looks at it, I tell you what is it, they'll say it's a piece of mouse. How can it still be bottle? And it's a xera, and therefore there is a shash that you will take a piece of mouse by itself and eat it. And then you'll be eating treif because you're holding something that you could look at and see what it is, and you didn't bother looking and see what it is, and you ate it. Okay. So he says either it's fundamentally not bottle, or it's not bottle because you might move it and eat it on its own. Again, These things is very reminiscent. The reason why they're not the first argument every bug case we have is because they have to make all kinds of subtle people can exactly how hard it is to remove. But it sounds very reminiscent of the machlokes we had. What did the Rambam and the Shach say? They say, ah, you can't identify it. What did the Taz say? No, no. You're right, there's no way to clean it out. But since theoretically it looks different and you can see it, it's not batel. Or the Taz Das Rashba says, no, no, it really is batel, even though you can theoretically identify it. In which case, by bugs, which you would never take out of just a bug, it's not good to see us, this would be more vital, and the Taz would be more machir in some cases. Okay, then there's one last sheet, which is the Nekudas HaKesef. The Nekudas HaKesef backtracks. He backtracks. He says, you're right. It's not really a birya. Rather, what was the question? And he says something very similar to 1.1 is very similar to 2.1, interestingly. Meaning the Shach ends up very similar to the Taz Lefi Rashba. What does the Shach say in 1.1? This is the Nekudas HaKesef. He also says, in terms of Nafkamina, only the Shmona Shratzen. But he becomes very similar to Taz. He says, you know what, you Taz, you're really right. He says, like 2.1, it's a chash that you might take a piece of mouse by itself and eat it. Not like the Taz. Ah, so why are we only choshesh in the Shmona Shratzim? Because if it was not the Shmona Shratzim, even if you ate it, it wouldn't be a big Aveira, because it would be Chatzi Shir. So we don't make the Xera. But since this would be Chayiv Malkus and a big Aveira, we're Choshesh. But they were only Gozer on Shmona Shratzim because of the Chayiv Malkus. If regular treif fell into my, food, even though a piece, let's say treif meat fell apart into my vegetable stew and they all looked sort of the same and it was impossible, so then it would be fine. Oh, what if I accidentally take one piece of meat and I all of a sudden notice it's meat, or should notice it's meat and eat it anyway? Okay, there's a 10% chance that'll happen, and that's a small avera. We'll take our chances. But in a sheret, if a tiny piece size of a lentil I just took on my spoon and it could have been identified and I ate it, and now it's not in the ropes anymore, then I'd be chayv malchus. It'd be 10% chance of a big avera. That, there it goes there. Okay, those are the four shitas. Halacha l'maisa, it's very unclear how we paskin in this case. And again, this is very reminiscent of some of the bug sugyas, right? What if you saw something, you could recognize it, but it's not practical to find it and remove it. So the Taz, Beis Yosef might very well agree, says, not batel, usher. But the Taz Das Rashba says, and then the Nekudas HaKesef says, oh, it's fine if you're not going to end up having it on a spoon by itself. Right? And the Rambam says, it's fine as long as it's not a birya. Okay, so this is a big machlokas. Halacha l'maisa, how do we paskin, is not 100% clear. L'maisa, it's not so clear how we paskin, so we should be choshesh for the Taz. It's not so clear how we paskin, so therefore it's good when it should be choshesh for the Taz. If this really happens, then you should not eat it. The Taz. Yeah. Halacha l'maisa, it's hard. There's no clear hachra here. There's no clear hachra in the achronim. L'maisa, we would be machmir. Okay. We didn't finish some Kuf Dalet, but I think we have to end here. We'll take one question from Jerry.
Just curious, we'll just repeat again, why is it within the Kuf
Dalet about Chatzi Shir? Chatzi Shir is also a Torah, but it's not as Chomer as Chosh Shir.
It's saying that this is, you're not going to get Malkut for this.
Yeah, so it's going to be a small Avera D'Oraisa, not a big Avera D'Oraisa. That's a big difference between a small Avera and a big Avera. I know, Pimusser, you know, they tell you don't take small Averas lightly. But still, halachically, there's a difference. No, the mouse is a full shear because of kadosha. That's the chap. Right. That's why he says the shmona shrub is a full shear.
The thing in normal is
there. Normal is the chatzi shear. You're not going to have a kazayas piece. Give me a break. If there's a kazayas piece, then it's easy enough to sort out. No, you have tiny pieces. Okay. All right. Well, we'll have to continue Mirtz Hashem with Sif Beis next time.